I want to say immediately before I get started with all of my heart that I'm going to speak in absolutes today and in generalities. And when you do that, you always, always risk, run the risk of saying things that can seem hard or harsh and don't apply to your situation. Okay? I admit that up front. I'm going to do what I'm going to do because I think it's the right thing to do. If these things don't apply directly to you because they're exceptions, then fine. I'm with it. You make application. You take what you can. Is that a deal? I'm not trying to be ugly or mean, but I do want to be clear about what I'm getting ready to say today because I think it's really, really important. We're in a series called They Promised Me Chocolate. And basically what we're dealing with is disappointment. That life will repeatedly, relentlessly, and without warning let you down, but God never will. That God allows disappointments into our lives, not to hurt us, but to push us past disappointment to delight, which is the place of trust, where we trust God for all of our needs, our existence, our joy, and our future. The way of trust is expressed in what we call the bulldog principles, never sour, never settle, never stop. These are the commitments that I make to myself, to God, and the people around me, that I will continue to find my joy and my delight in the God who loved me and created me. Are you with me? So as a part of that, we've just been owning up to some disappointments about ourselves, God, our family. They want to talk about marriage and why I think most married men are miserable. Now, I know that is an awful audacious, bold statement to make, but I just deal with so many. Paul and I both, over these many, many years, have dealt with men who are really, really miserable in the marriage. And you ladies say, well, women are miserable too. Yeah, absolutely, because they're married to miserable men. You see, here's the thing about marriage. Nobody marries a bored person not having fun. They were good people, happy people, exciting people. You wouldn't have married them. They become bored and miserable and serious over time. And I think we live in a culture where we have to own up. I'm not the kind of person who sees a conspiracy behind every bush, but we have to own up to some things going on in our larger culture. There are three downgrades in our larger culture that we have to push back against, and here they are. One is the downgrade where people try to get us to ignore gender differences. Now, I am a man. I am not a woman. I'm not a she man. I'm a man man. I was created by God to be a man. There are differences between men and women, and nothing, not clothing, hairstyle, or speech patterns are ever going to change that. Are you with me? We need to accept the gender differences for what they are. A man's not better than a woman, and a woman's not better than a man. When a man is fully being who he is who he was created to be. And when a woman is being who she was created to be, fully who she is, she's being who she was created to be. And we need to honor that. There are abuses on both sides of this equation. But acting like men shouldn't be manly, rough, and tough men is silly. Trying to make men Pee Wee Herman in Jesus' name is never going to work. That's why men don't want to go to church. They want anything to do with Christianity because they think it's a woman's religion, right? They don't want to be tamed. They want their hearts to continue to be wild. They want to be able to have fun and be rowdy and be men and fish and pee off a bridge or whatever it is men do. Are you with me? Here's a second downgrade now that I said that. Sorry. Is the attempt to try to say that marriage is not necessary. Marriage is absolutely necessary. It is what God created us to be. He created us to get married. The Bible begins with a marriage and it ends with a marriage. And everything in between is either about living in a marriage, in a family, or in a relationship. So marriage is absolute. You should be married, guys. Find a woman, marry her, love her the rest of your life. Find a good woman. Maybe you ladies are looking for Mr. Right. Maybe you should stop looking for Mr. Right now. And the issue is not finding the right person. The issue is being the right person. The way to be the right person is to think the right way, to act the right way. Then you'll feel the right way and you'll be the right way. And you'll be somebody exciting and fun. Somebody will want to marry. Listen to this. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother. be united, glued with his wife, and they will become what? One flesh. The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame, as it should be. As it should be. Marriage is the fundamental building block of society. And we need more and more people to get married. Not fewer and fewer, but more and more. You see, when you're married in this country, in the United States, in Tennessee, or wherever it is you're married, you enter in spiritually to a covenant. A covenant is a spiritual union between you, the person, and God. It is a spiritual thing. And then the government acknowledges that with the protection of a contract, a civil contract. The definition of a civil definition of marriage in America has three components to it. There is financial unity, next of kin, and I just lost the third one. I'll get it. Why should I forget this one? Sexual exclusivity. The best one. That is what is recognized. Even in this country, it's still frowned upon if you commit adultery openly, so as we will notice. Right? I mean, did you hear about Tiger Woods? Had an accident. You know what time it was? 2:30 in the morning. We're hoping and praying he was out committing adultery. Don't we? Really? Seriously? I mean, we want it to be juicy and spicy. Right? They won't tell us yet. So we're like, ooh, woo, 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 woo. You know what? You know, Tiger Woods being out 2:30 a.m. in the morning says to me, none of my business. It ain't none of my business. But you know, so we just love, we still, you know what? If our government officials commit adultery, they won't be reelected. We still have this kind of duality that somehow we are sexually lax and lazy, and yet we still understand the issue of marriage and sexual exclusive. Just have sex with your spouse. Right? So we understand that marriage is a necessity. It is God's will for your life. Now you say, whoa, I understand. Trust me. I understand that you may be an exception, but you are an exception. You are not the rule. And you need to accept that. Here's a third downgrade, and that is the attempt to downgrade what I've been trying to say, sexual exclusivity. Listen to this. This is out of Malachi 2. Another thing you do, you flood the Lord's altar with tears. You weep and wail because he no longer pays attention to your offerings and accepts them with the pleasure from your hands. You ask why. Why is God, ignoring us? Because he has been acting as a witness between you and the wife of your youth. Because you have broken faith with her. Though she is your partner, the wife of your marriage covenant, has not the Lord made them one in flesh and spirit? They are his. And why one? Because he's seeking a good business deal, right? No, marriage as a business sucks, period. It's a bad deal. What is he seeking? Children. Let's just say he wants kids. He wants a man and a woman to get married and have sex and have kids. Woo! Right? I mean, what's wrong with that? We have so been intimidated by everyone who has an agenda that we're afraid to say God's will is one man, one woman, one lifetime, three kids. or whatever. 1, 2, 3, 6, 10. I don't care. Whatever you have money and time for, I suppose. Right? We need to stop allowing other people to reframe reality. Because if we don't live the way we were created to live, we're never going to find the joy, peace, and happiness that God intended, right? I don't really want to say anything, because, whatever. All right. Now, on the backdrop, this is why I think men, and I'm saying this from a men's perspective just because I'm a guy, and, we could probably, women probably say the very same thing. I totally understand that. I would have to say this. Paul, are you over there? Okay. I want to say something with her in here. And I got some more things I want to say in a few minutes. But the greatest disappointment, I'm going to just confess my disappointment in marriage, is the pain I've caused her. That's my greatest disappointment. So I'm not, this is not a macho thing to rain on women, but it is, I think we just have to, I hope what it does is open up a conversation. Because I think women, I'll be honest with you, I'm telling you all my heart, I think men are more broken than women. Somehow, I don't know why, but somehow men just are all messed up. And I'm going to tell you some of the reasons why I think that's true. Five reasons why men and married men in America are miserable. At least the ones that I've seen are miserable. One, we don't know who we are. We don't know what it means to be a man. It's either a beer-drinking, knuckle-dragging buffoon. I mean, watch the commercials. Really? Why are men not offended? Seriously. And why are women not offended by the fact that you basically are sold as a piece of meat? Something to be ogled, something to be used, something cheap. I mean, I'm going to go to the football game this afternoon, and I'd be honest with you, the Titan cheerleaders embarrass me. I'm sorry. Okay, yeah, just email me about that. I don't care. But, I mean, really, come on, you know, put some clothes on. Seriously? Really? Are we this sex-starved that we need it at halftime and every time and every quarter? Really? Probably shouldn't have said that, should I? If you're a Titans cheerleader mother, then God bless you. You know, it's not my, none of my business, but I'm just saying, everywhere we go, I think women should be offended by the fact that, you know what, I can't buy a new car without some sexy woman on the hood. Really? Oh, come on. No, we're not. This is not what it means to be a man. Man, God created you to be a man, a manly man. You're not a woman. You're a man. You're not a mama's boy. You're a man. And ladies, we don't need another mother. We've had one. We want to move on. Amen. Let's go to the Bible. How about maybe I can get out of the ditch? Then God said, let us. And then interesting, we call that the divine plural in theological terms. God, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Let us make God, man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule. All right? So a man is going to be a little aggressive. Let him rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number. A man is never more of a man than when he understands the physical and sexual distinction that he has from a woman. And that sexual union with his wife is a good thing and a godly thing and a holy thing and something to be celebrated. Not looked down as something never, we don't talk about this stuff anymore. I think men are miserable because they don't know what it means to be a man. They kind of overcompensate by being tyrants and dictatorial and demanding, or they undercompensate by being Pee Wee Herman's cousin. And neither are God's ideal for your life. Be a man. Doesn't mean you can't be sensitive. Doesn't mean you can't be creative. Doesn't mean that you can't be introspective. It doesn't mean you have to be a fisherman or you like football or any of those kind of things. You can like what you like, but be a man. All right? And don't apologize for being a man. Here's the second reason why I think men in America are miserable, married men. They don't know what they want. Nobody ever taught me what I wanted. I know what I want, but it's hard for me at times to put words to it. So let me tell you, ladies, what a man wants. Here it is. He wants to be respected and appreciated. Guys, what do you say? Am I close? He wants to be respected. Listen, ladies, I'm going to help you out here today. I'm going to give you a lot of good information. You want to get rid of your man? You don't have to divorce him. You don't have to shoot him. You don't even have to move back home. Just nagging. That's all you got to do. Nag your man. You want to lose him? Nag him. Because a man cannot defend against that. A nagging woman. As a matter of fact, the Old Testament says that it's better to live in the corner of a roof than a home with a nagging woman. It's in the book. I didn't write it. You don't like it? Take it up with the author. A man needs to be appreciated and respected. Appreciate what he does. When the things that you think that we ought to do without being asked are the very things we want to be appreciated for doing. Right? I mean, you wash the dishes every single day. If we ever clean out the dishwasher once, we want an award. We want dinner out. We want a romantic liaison. You know what I'm saying? We're like little dogs. Appreciate me. Tell me. Give me a bone. Give me a bone. Right? Okay? That's what we are. We want to be respected and we want to be appreciated. Guys, that's what you want. There's nothing wrong with wanting that. Okay? Nothing wrong with being a man wanting to be respected as the head of your home, the loving servant of your home. Nothing wrong with that. It is going to be there. I don't care what society tells you, that will never change. It is hotwired into your DNA. You can mute it, you can deny it, and you can try to distort it, and you will be less than fully human and fully a man. So, most married men that I've met are miserable because, one, they don't know who they are, and they don't know what they want. Here's a third reason I think a lot of married men are miserable. And here's the thing about married men in misery. You can't really say much about it because men won't talk about it. When women get together, they talk about everything, right? Am I right? I think that's true because I listen to my four women talking and they talk about everything. And that's a good thing. That's a really good thing. When men get together, we talk about football, we talk about politics, we talk about all the things over which we have absolutely no control or experience. Can I hear an amen? We don't talk about marriage. And I'm convinced there's only one reason. Because we're scared to death. We think that we're the only one in our group as miserably married as we are. And we don't want anyone else to know. It's like being around a bunch of people who play golf. It's intimidating, isn't it? I don't play golf. You know why? Because I suck at it. I cannot play golf. And I'm really bad at it. And I'm not willing to invest the time to really get average at it. You with me? When you're around a bunch of other people who play golf and they talk about their handicap, I go, you know what? Yeah, I got a four. I got a four handicap. You know what that means? Me either. I don't know. I have no clue and I have no interest in knowing. You know what I'm saying? So ladies, if we don't know what you want, it's because we never talk about it. We don't ever compare notes. What'd your wife want, bud? I don't know. What about yours? I don't know. I have no clue. I'm not telling you because I don't know. Here's what a woman wants. It's going to be my next book, What a Woman Wants. She wants to be chosen and cherished. All right, ladies, how close am I? Pretty close? In the ballpark, in the neighborhood? I know that my wife wants to know that I chose her, which means, guys, the single guys among you, if you're looking for a woman, go after one. She's not going to call you. You call her. You go after her. You pursue her, right? You take the next step. You make the phone call. You are the guy who's supposed to be pursuing this damsel in distress. But she'll act like she doesn't even know you exist. Well, I don't know if I want to go out with you or not. And she's dying inside. She's dying to get around some girlfriends. He asked me out. Oh, my goodness. But she'll never tell you that. She looked cool and calm and collected, right? Crazy women. A woman wants to be cherished and she wants to be chosen. Listen to this. May your fountain be blessed and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. A loving doe and a graceful deer. All right, let's stop right there. Push pause. I'm going to read you some statistics. 2008 just came out earlier this year. In order, the top most popular plastic surgeries in America. Number four, tummy tuck, 147,392. Number three, nose job, rhinoplasty. Isn't that a nasty sounding thing? 152,434. Number two, the second most popular plastic surgery in America last year, liposuction, 341,144. And the number one, most popular plastic surgery in America, can you guess? Breast augmentation, 355,651. Now let's push play again. May her breasts satisfy you always. May you ever be captivated by her love. Now, isn't the Bible, now this is in the Old Testament, okay? This is out of Proverbs. This archaic, arcane, out-of-date book of rules. But I have to submit to you that if 6,000 years ago, breasts were popular, and they're still popular, that argues for the infallibility of Scripture. Can I hear an amen? Woo! I'm just saying. Right here. What does a woman want? She wants to be cherished and chosen. What does a man want? He wants to be respected and he wants to be appreciated. Paul and I have been married a long time, and she constantly says, when she's dressed, how do I look? And I'm smart enough to say, you look great, because she does look great. But here's the difference, guys. Women, I think, get their esteem from the outward appearance and approval. Men get their esteem from what they do and appreciation. So when you have a woman who appreciates her man and a man who is giving of affirmation and approval to his wife, you have a really happy union. Two people understanding what they need, that they give each other exactly what they were created to need. So men here, don't be ashamed of who you are. Don't be ashamed of what you want. And don't be ashamed to give your woman what she wants. Here's a fourth reason why I think men in America, or married men, are miserable, and that is they are ashamed about their sex drive. They're ashamed of it. Because we're taught in our culture that sex is kind of naughty and tawdry and dark, and it's something that you do, you know, it's something that you tease about, and it's the way you sell Coke and beer and jeans and cars, and it's kind of a little naughty, and it's a little, you know. We are exposed, and I'm not trying to be prudish. You know, and what the Titans cheerleaders wear is none of my business anyway, but, you know, or anything. But we were just these images of these half-naked women, you know, seriously? If I were a woman in this culture, I'd be hacked about that. Yeah. These are airbrushed, photoshopped images of people who don't exist. And because we're told as men that to have any desire for sex is kind of naughty and tawdry and dark, and we can't turn to our wife for this to be a good, wholesome, holy thing, understand that God wants us to have sex, and he wants us to have children as a result of sex, and if we're having sex and not have children, we at least ought to have pleasure. I can't think of a third reason. Well, I can think of a third reason. Studies show that having sex is the same as walking 3 miles. I don't know whether that's true or not, but I choose to believe it. Seriously. I mean, you think about it. If you were filling out an insurance form and they were to ask you, you know, they were going to charge you, your rate was going to be on the basis of how physically active, and they said, are you physically active? Do you think once a year is physically active? No. How about once a month? The answer would be no. Physically active would be like 2 or 3 times a week, right? Get my point? And let me tell you something. If you're not having sex with your wife, you got trouble. And your wife's not having sex with you, you're in deep trouble. Marriages were created so that men and women could enjoy one another in a wholesome, holy, God-honoring, God-blessed, sanctioned way. And there's nothing dirty about it unless you want to make it dirty. You with me? And you say, well, we don't talk about this in church. That's our problem, isn't it? We don't want to talk about it in church, but we cuss and fuss and condemn the schools because they do it. Well, somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to tell our children that if you find a wife or you find a husband, marry them, have sex with them, you'll never have an STD. Never. You will never have one. Ever. It'll be completely safe, completely wholesome, and hygienic if you're concerned about stuff like that, right? And listen, ladies, if you deny your husband sexual intimacy, what you're saying to him is what you want from me is not right. It's kind of dirty and naughty. And his sexual desire will not go away. It will be submerged and it will express itself in some sad guy looking at a flickering screen of naked women having sex with each other in the middle of the night. And we wonder why men turn to porn. No one turns to that because that's a better option. Trust me, I've been around way too long to understand this. A man would much rather have a fun, exciting, enjoyable, mutually pleasurable experience with his wife than a TV screen. Trust me on this one, ladies. I do know what I'm talking about. So, men feel ashamed. Guys, don't feel ashamed because you want to have sex. Okay? Just have sex with your wife. You say, well, I ain't married. Get you one. Get you one. Amen? Get you one. Well, how do I get one? Well, you can't get one in your apartment. You can't get one fishing with a bunch of guys on Percy. Priest, you got to go where they are. Where are they? I don't know. I don't date. I got one woman. She hangs with me. Number five. Here you go. Let me read this. Some of you, you big chicken. Yeah, I'll read this. Here it goes. I'll read it out loud. The husband should fulfill his wife's sexual needs. Amen? It's in the book. You can amen it. Okay, I didn't make this up. The wife should fulfill her husband's needs. The wife gives authority over her body to her husband. Now, when did she do that? The day she got married. And the husband gives authority over his body to his wife. Usually, men are the aggressors when it comes to sexual relations. If you're married to a woman who is the sexual aggressor, all I got to say is, we hate you. Do not deprive each other of sexual relations unless you both agree and refrain from... You don't think God has a sense of humor? Refrain from sexual intimacy for a limited time so you can give yourselves more completely to what? Really? You don't think God has a sense of humor? How many of you are going to abstain to pray? Nobody. Then it says, afterward, you should come back together so that Satan doesn't tempt you because of your lack of self-control. I mean, the Bible is so practical. Really? The people who reject it have never read it. I mean, what great advice. 2,000 years ago, still just as cutting edge as ever. Here's the last reason why I think many married men are miserable. They're just bored to tears of being nice. No man wants to be nice. A man wants to be a man. He wants to be just a little dangerous, a little rowdy. There's a little renegade in every man you've ever met. There's a warrior's heart. There's a battle to be a won and a love to be won. There's a damsel to be rescued and embraced. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is Gideon. Gideon was a young nobody, a nothing, a member of the smallest tribe of Israel, hiding because his country was being raped and brutalized by its enemies. He was found in the bottom of a barn trying to find enough grain to make a little loaf of bread and die. And it says that the angel of the Lord, that's called, in theological terms, it's called a Christophany. Anytime you see in the Old Testament the phrase the angel of God or the angel of the Lord, that is a Christophany, a pre-New Testament appearance of Jesus. Jesus didn't get born on Christmas. He's been around forever. He was a part of that let us make man. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, God is with you, O mighty warrior. And Gideon's right with me. If God is with us, I'd hate to see what it'd be like if God wasn't with us. That's good drama, isn't it? And he finally, the remedy was this, is your nation is being raped. And the way it's going to be saved is for you to get out and go to war and win the righteous battle. Every man wants to be engaged in a righteous battle. And there is no righteous battle greater than the battle you will wage in your life for your wife and your children, men. And it will be a battle. Because Satan and all of hell would love nothing but for your marriages to be miserable, messed up, and ultimately divided. Amen? I want to make it to the end in love with my wife. I want to make it to the end with my wife intact and in love with me. Amen? And because of that, I'm going to ask her to come up. Paula? I don't promise that I'm going to get through this. Because Paul and I attended a marriage conference a couple weeks ago, and I didn't get through it. And it was in Atlanta with a bunch of strangers. So I'm not promising I'll get through it. But it is an apology. And we read theirs, I wrote mine, and I'm going to do my best to get through it. Y'all pray for me. Paula? That's how far I got the last time. I'm sorry for not always being the kind of husband I should have been and you've wanted me to be. For making too much of our lives about me and not about we. For not always giving you the time and attention you deserved. That too many times I've been a taker and not a giver. And too often I've been focused on my world and my success and not on our world and our success. Please forgive me for the pain and the frustration I know these failures have caused you. By God's grace and with His help, I commit the rest of my life to being and becoming the husband you deserve. I will love you with my actions, both big and small. I will use my words to build you up. I will make decisions with you. And the goal of those decisions will be what is best for us. I will not expect from you what I can only get from God. I will work hard to continue to grow. To be the man I can be, and I know you've always wanted me to be. With your love and patience and your prayers, that's when we don't have sex. I will seek to be the kind of husband you deserve, the father our children have a right to expect, and the man God had in mind when He made me. Let's pray. Father, we bow before You today. And I know so many men in this room make this same confession to their wives. I pray, Father, that You will use this church and all of us as examples of what it means for a man to love a woman and a woman to love a man. For our marriages to be fun again. For our children to be filled with joy. And for the world to be better off because we've lived. I pray in Jesus' name for the hurting in this room. I pray for single men and women who are praying and have been praying for so long for a mate, for a godly mate. I pray You'll answer that prayer. I pray for husbands, Father, who are scared to death to even talk about these issues with their wife, but for a fear of rupturing a false peace that doesn't exist. I pray that their marriages would be fun again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.